There comes a time in every man's life. Bugger it. Just take them. And you know how to put them on, right? So I could take you to the bathroom. I could show you.
What the hell happened in the 1970s?
Let's go back and meet
three rudderless families. The Joneses were the big kahunas on the block.
Somebody's going to get hurt and it's not going to be me.
The Hall House was a disaster movie in the making.
Welcome to the club, men. That's the way.
My family was stuck right in the middle of the cul-de-sac.
Dad!
Oh, g'day, Mr. Marsh.
I was armed with a Super 8 camera.
Oh, what you got there, love? Look at that.
No cameras tonight?
I captured everything.
Oh, I think I'm gonna hurl.
In the hope I could edit together.
The next game is called Swinging Safari.
Oh, I'm here.
What was going through our poor, misguided heads?
For our listeners and readers, tell us a bit about what the film's about.
Film's about my childhood, really, quite honestly. What's the film about? It's about a 14-year-old boy growing up in the mid-70s with no idea what was going on in a period that honestly, on a beach that the sand, the time and taste forgot. I can look at a chunk of the mid-70s and see my parents has been completely, totally and utterly lost.
Yep.
They had no idea what they were doing. They had no clue. They had no rule book. They were making up as they went along. And there were a lot of really, really interesting mistakes. But those mistakes added up to me.
Yeah.
And I say that to my parents now. Gee, you made a mess of it. God, I thank you for it. Because it made me who I am. It really toughened me up and it made me a fighter. And I can get out there and fight with the best of them. And I look to this childhood as what I learned. And like it really made me an interesting kid. And now hopefully an interesting grown-up. So that's what the film's about. It's a story about a bunch of kids on a cul-de-sac and the parents trying to get through sexual liberation by throwing a key party that goes completely wrong. There's your plot.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not really about that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
The whole, so obviously the storyline part of it with the young kid doing the home movies, you did that yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, my original gang of death cheaters, within the film that the kids make, as you did, we're a generation of kids who grew up on disaster movies. That was the, you know, that was your film of the moment. That was your Marvel movie of the moment, was disaster movies in the 70s. So yeah, we had Super 8 cameras and we used to make disaster movies. And my goodness, what damage we did. And I found the original crew of my gang, they're my age, and I found them all over the country and we got two of them back together again. And when I told them I was doing it, they both said the same thing. Please don't tell me you're including the really bad stuff. And I said, nah, I've kept that one. kept that stuff for a sequel. But
yeah.
I said, however, Mum's wedding dress. And they just went quiet and said, oh, you didn't do the big burn with the wedding dress, did you? I said, that one I did.
Wow. And the cast you've assembled for the film is incredible. I remember when the first press release came out with the photo of the cast and I was like, holy shit. Like, you got Guy Pearce back. You worked with him, what, 24 years ago?
It was 24 years ago, yeah.
24 years ago. And then you got Kylie, Rada, Julian, Asher. And
all people I've known all my life too. It was a really interesting moment to have known all these people for a long while and just finding a script that talked to all of them at the right time of their lives too.
Yeah.
That just corralled everybody.
So how did you get them all together though? Did you have people in mind as you were writing? Or
no, I never do that.
No?
Never. That's a license for disaster, and I used to write like that. And the Americans expect you to write like that. They tell you to put an actor in your head and write for them, and then when you finish, you go out and chase that actor. Well, 99.9999% of the time, that actor says no.
Yeah.
And then where are you?
Yeah, no, fair call.
Doesn't work. So what I do now is write for the characters. I get my characters absolutely right in my head, and then I start looking for who can play them. I've been disappointed too many times. And I picked what? I do know the six principal adults here. I sent it out to all of them, and all of them said yes. Because they're all of the right age. They knew where they were, they knew where they grow up, and I knew them. It was quite calculated. I said, they're gonna know where they are.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
And they all said yes, because they all had 1,000 memories.
Well, that's the cool thing, is I'm a massive Julian McMahon fan. I've loved him back in the Nip Tuck days. And I haven't seen him in heaps over the last maybe 5 or 6 years. And so I was really excited to see him in a film, and he was great in this.
He was fantastic. Yeah. Who knew Julian was that funny? I did.
He was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And I've also got to look at, like, I take my hat off to you, between the principal cast and the kids, that's quite a lot of talent to wrangle. How did you go about that?
Oh, kids, when you're not mean just our principal kids, you know, we had 17 little buggers in the of the neighbourhood kids, and then we had the animals, and you know, animals was a big one in this film. It was monumental. I'd never quite had to herd this many people in such a short period of time. You know, it's not a big film, or what we've done in a short period of time was phenomenal. But yeah, it was Julian called me the ringmaster of chaos. And it was whipping everybody into a frenzy on the spot and then screaming action. And that was how I got through this, is how I got them all together, was got everybody on the same page and let them go wild. Didn't micromanage this one. I just got them to the mood and then said action.
Well, actually, I watched the B-roll this morning, and there is a bit of you with the kids trying to get them to scream, and their reaction shot of that. And yeah, exactly what you were saying.
Screaming, chaos.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
How did you manage to get a whole bunch of families to give up their cul-de-sac for as you put it, the chaos that ensued?
Look, that's the nature of filmmaking. You always have, it's always tough, and every street has one. And that's somebody who's going to leave their car parked outside the front, or is going to walk through shop. Every street has one. It was just, we were very lucky though. We absolutely included all the neighbours as much as we could, and for all the big stunts and whatever, we got the neighbours involved, and you know, instead of trying to isolate them, we brought them into the family, and they had a blast, so we were pretty lucky.
So with the interiors though, were they sets?
No, they were houses.
Even the lowered lounge room?
The conversation pit?
Yeah.
We cut a hole in their floor.
Okay, how did that conversation go down?
Can we cut a hole in your floor? We'll put it back.
That's it.
You know, it was like that. And I said, it'll go back. You won't know it. So we cut this massive hole in their floor, built the conversation kit, put carpet all the way through so it all worked. And when we finished, we absolutely put the hole in the floor back. And they were fantastic Queenslanders.
Wow.
Usually someone would go nuts, but they said, yeah, why not? Go for it. As long as it goes back to what it was. Yeah. And we said, we'll do it. We promise.
Yeah, wow, okay, that's incredible. I thought that was maybe sets.
Nah, that was, we were talking about building it at one point, but you know, Colin's just clever, and he said, look, it's a hole in the floor.
Yeah.
It's a big hole in the floor, but we'll put it back.
Nah, very cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, every film production faces its challenges. What was the biggest challenge with this one?
The film, as I said, the film mightn't be, even to your taste, or mightn't be to other, the film is rapid fire snapshots and memories.
Yep.
The plot is actually secondary to what it's trying to say. It's a comment on helicopter parenting, on you know, it is what it's about. It's about a generation trying to raise children without rules. It's my childhood, and there's 1,000 snapshots. I wrote the script with 1,000 snapshots.
Yeah.
And it was pretty clear on paper. And most 100-page scripts come in with maybe 120 scenes. I turned a script in with almost 300 scenes, which is double what any ordinarily film would have. And then right away when we sat down in production, they just said, this is out of control. It's too much. You'll never get it in. It's too much information. It's too much. And I said, but I'm flicking through a photo album, and I make no bones about the speed in which I'm going to move. And so they pleaded and they pleaded and they pleaded and they pleaded. And I just said, it's up to Colin really. And then Colin came along and just said, let's go for it. So what should have taken me 3 months, we ended up doing in 6.5 weeks, and we did it by working till we bled and breaking every single rule in the book to get it done. And some of the local crew were pretty horrified about how far we were prepared to go. But we did it. But you know, I fell down at the end of this and realizing, you know, it's a young man's game. I had one or two moments during shoot that I honestly thought I was going to have a heart attack. The adrenaline. And you know, six-day weeks, and you know, we were working 18-hour days sometimes. It's like, I'm not a young pup anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and in the middle of that, organising all that cast and keeping that energy alive, I mean, I lost 7 kilos during the shoot. I was just, and the hands were like this shaking every day. So would I do it again? Not in a hurry.
No. If you had the right story, obviously you would.
Yeah, but I need also just take a breather.
Oh yeah, definitely. Obviously, it would have been fun to shoot as well.
Yeah, it was fun. It was bloody hard work, though.
How long did you edit? How long did it take you to edit it?
Editing on this one was... was... Well, because it was so cut in camera, that was actually good. It was because we were cut on the page.
Yeah.
A lot of it was actually done, but then we fine-tuned and started mucking around. And Sue and I have, of course, gone back a very long time. And I bumped my editor, Laurie, up, who's been my assistant for many years, and gave him half the film.
Yeah.
And then that's when we began to experiment. And the first cut was 5 minutes shorter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
5 minutes faster. And we had our first test screening, and just the audience was screaming, slow it down. So for the first time in history, I got to put time in instead of taking time out. They're just like, it's too fast. But there's a YouTube generation now. They can think this fast.
Oh yeah.
So you think I've still gone too fast, and like, absolutely, you're not alone, but it was a decision. I could have gone.
Just to wrap it up, what's next for you? After
stopping.
After you have a break,
is there stopping.
Anything? Stopping?
No, this has been, this is immensely personal. I'm really exposing myself on, although, what you might, I hope you do see the pain in the film, because
definitely.
It's immensely painful.
Yeah.
And that bedroom scene with the kids was horrific to shoot. I mean, I was a basket case at the end of those 2 nights. I mean, it was really as close to the bone as you could ever possibly get. That's 40 years to get to that moment. So I actually need to stop and take stock.
No, fair call.
I turned 50. I made a very personal film. I have to stop now.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I don't know what's going to happen next. Something will.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right, mate.
No, I really appreciate it. Where's
your mama go? Why were they doing that to each other?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We just go to school like normal.
Surprise.
The pill, sweetheart. Your father and I think it's time.
Thank you!
And what are we playing?
Poker. Everybody else has.
Corking. Bush pig.
Shut up, hussy.
Alcoholic. Bottle blonde.
Cock tease.
Our parents did the best they could with the bent tools they were handed.
Looks like you might have found yourself a plot, Tiger.
Going to Catholic boarding schools. The priests will have their way with you.